When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. It is officially that time of year where the cold northern winds going to be blowing across our Great Plains. And if you're feeling the shiveries inside your house, you know what time it is. It's time to talk to your local Pella, Omaha, and Lincoln expert by taking a closer look at your windows. You can save energy and stay warm with windows from Pella that are properly installed the patented Pella way by professionals using window and doors with the highest energy efficiency ratings in the industry from Energy Star. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Runza. You know, I hit the old road this weekend, headed to Lawrence, Kansas, to call a Kansas basketball game. And I've told you before, one of the most exciting days of my life back, you know, 15 plus years ago was when I found out that there was a Runza in Lawrence, Kansas when I was going to KU. And I knew that. And so I knew after I called KU North Dakota State, I knew where I was going to go get some grub. And so your boy hit Iowa Street, the main street right there in Lawrence, Kansas. I went and got a nice cheese Runza, some French fries. Man, it was delicious to get a little slice of home in my car, making that drive back to Nebraska. That's the beauty of Runza. Runza makes it all better. Okay, it is it's that time of week where you know what's on tap. It's a little recap pod, baby, a little game recap pod. Nebraska takes down Purdue. Certainly a ton to discuss as it was another drama-filled roller coaster. Four quarters of football, but Nebraska emerges victorious over the Boilermakers. So let's get to it. Yours truly, former Husker black shirt and all Big 12 linebacker Beau Rude, breaking it all down. Enjoy. All right, here we are, a little recap pod, a victorious recap pod. Nebraska, never a doubt, right? They take down Purdue 37-27, and we were just talking, so full disclosure, I got a late call to go to Lawrence, Kansas to do a KU game on Saturday afternoon. So I got to listen to the first quarter in my car. So I got a lot of huge call, Greg. It's a big play. And I got a lot of touchdown. It's a touchdown. Dedrick Mills, it's a touchdown. I got a lot of that. I got a lot of Greg Sharp, a lot of Matty D. But then I lost reception of the game. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm going to record it. I'm going to rewatch it this morning. And I feel like in some ways, getting a Kansas basketball assignment robbed me of the emotional roller coaster that would have been that game. Because let's be honest, it's different when you know the outcome. All the things that would have put you on the emotional roller coaster didn't as much.
You had the guarantee. We won the game. The rest of us were having, I'm sure, quite a few moments where we thought we were going to lose it, and we were losing our minds again. I think that was, it might have been comforting this week to actually know when you're watching this, we're going to win.
But I think it'll be interesting when we kind of get into discussing this game. When you didn't ride the roller coaster, I think it changes how you digest the game a little bit.
For sure.
You know, I didn't get as upset about, for instance, the end of the first half and the management and getting the punt blocked. Like, in the moment, and I know we're jumping to the end of the first half, in the moment, did you think Frost needed to just, when they get the big stop on fourth down, did you think they needed to be aggressive? Like, a part of me felt like, damn, you had a great first half. You had a lot, you had all the momentum. You were going to get the ball to start the second half. Like, I know hindsight's 20/20. Like, did you want them to, like, foot on the gas? Here we go. What'd you think about that management?
I'd think about that one, because when it happened, I was kind of okay. I wasn't mad at them trying for it,
right?
Okay, because in the end, still punt the ball,
right?
Punt the ball in the half.
You don't assume you're going to get a punt blocked or something.
So it's you know you good teams will always go for points there.
Right.
We are in the situation where we are just trying to manufacture a win any way possible, which is probably means play it safe. So I think that's where we're at now as a team, whereas we play it safe until we're good enough to take just like to play without having to be that conservative.
In defense of the aggressiveness, if I'm not mistaken, up until that point, Nebraska had scored on every possession.
We had
so there's also that element of like, shit, we're moving the ball, we're scoring the ball, let's just keep going, see what can happen. But I don't know, that just that felt like an interesting dynamic, because then I think we also have to brag. I know you're gonna feel me on this. Finally, the end of the game, the management was exactly what I think you and I want. Nebraska takes the ball over at the end of the game, up 10 with 5 minutes and 32 seconds left. And whether it was the Colorado game to start this, start the Frost era, he comes out throwing and snapping the ball fast and all those things. Instead, they let the clock bleed down inside, 8-6 seconds on the play clock. And even though it ended in a going for it on fourth down and an incomplete pass, Nebraska chewed 3 minutes and 12 seconds off the clock, forced Purdue to call all their timeouts. That makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and really, Frost, to me, it looked like he started doing that in the late third.
Yeah.
Which is, when you haven't won yet, that stuff is so much more important to me. And we've been hammering this for 2 years now. It's just, when you got a lead, it might not be pretty, but just run that clock and you make them do something extraordinary to beat
right.
you. And I think this proved if you can score some points, be a little conservative right now, we can win some games.
In some ways it was nice to finally play a team that Purdue kind of did all the things that it was kind of a role reversal. Now both teams were sloppy. I mean, this game would had 18 combined penalties,
yeah.
and it was just absurdly sloppy in that regard. But it was nice to finally play a game in which the other team was the one that was shitty on special teams,
yeah.
awful penalties, and because that kind of set the tone for the day with the block punt. You get it at the one, you punch it in, all those things. It was interesting how it was Purdue had all the characteristics of what Nebraska usually has.
Well, what was really interesting to me about Purdue was not just that they had a sloppy game. They, to me, if I had to look at body language
right.
from two different teams, I looked at their body language versus ours, and I thought, man, they got bad. I didn't see energy out of them. I looked at Rondale Moore and the other receiver, and I just thought, man, those guys don't look like they're that into
Bell,
it today.
I couldn't tell. Now, full disclosure, it's not like I've studied Bell, the other good receiver, a ton, but I thought the whole day, anytime they'd show him, he seemed pretty,
yeah,
whatever.
And Rondale Moore, because he came out on senior day as if he was a senior, and then he was kind of just... Every time I looked at him, he didn't look like he was already on to trying to be a pro. And you know what's funny about him? He didn't look like a guy that is like, I'm declaring early type
right,
of guy.
Right, right.
So it's funny that I kind of walked away from Purdue going, wait, I thought Rondale Moore was better. And the Bell guy was pretty good, but not like, I didn't see the way those guys played. I didn't think those guys are the best. Like,
right.
I think Ohio State's guys I'm way more
sure.
worried about than those guys. And I'm like, so I was Purdue, for how good they started this season, to me, that program looks like it just took a drastic nosedive.
I totally agree. And I mean, remember Purdue, was it 2 years ago that they beat Ohio State
yeah.
with College Game Day? Like, you thought – Purdue's coming. Brahm was the hot, he was going to maybe take the Louisville job and he
yeah.
stayed. And it felt like they were on the rise. And all of a sudden they feel like they're back to what they kind of were.
Yeah.
But I think to your point, the one thing, and again, I don't think you never want to get to where you're lowering the bar to the point where it's, you're praising this. But I don't know what you think. I haven't really felt, even in the Illinois game, I don't ever really feel like I've gotten that sense that Nebraska's body language has been shitty or no. they've thrown in the towel. Like, a lot of the, like, the reason they lose is never, like, effort or energy. It's more just attention to detail, focus, sloppiness. You know, like, yeah. I don't, they seem like they're still pretty locked in and engaged to me.
That, and that's like, if we need to give, you know, sometimes we're critical, but we also need to give credit. Like, we need to give credit to our coaches and these players that they are playing hard and they look engaged. Now, whether they, you know, can make plays in the clutch, which has been a problem, or not make the big mistake,
right.
That is the question. But to me, part of the progress is that when I looked at Purdue and looked at us, we wanted to play.
Right.
We wanted to win. They sort of, it looked like we're thinking about next year already.
Right.
And their better player, you know, Moore and Bell, they seemed like they were disinterested. They were thinking about other things. And that to me is a sign, a good sign for Nebraska, is that our guys, you know, good or bad, want to be out there.
And I think, and this will bridge us to where I kind of wanted to start the conversation, a lot of that is on the coaches. But I also think a lot of that is on Adrian Martinez from the standpoint of, I don't know if you agree with this or not. I think sometimes your quarterback can be such a lightning rod for just hope or despair with the team,
yeah.
you know? And we got to give some credit to that dude. I mean, that guy got benched, you know, and he, everyone kind of anoints Luke. You know, he could yeah. have easily kind of just folded up shop and just kind of been really a bad teammate and sulked a little bit. And to his credit, he didn't. And I'm not so sure he hasn't played. He started to show flashes the past two games of that old Adrian. His first touchdown run was a big-time play.
That play, I think that play is indicative of the hope of our future. That
yep.
Adrian Martinez makes a really tough scramble, breaks a couple tackles, and finishes a run and gets to the end zone on a play that was absolutely dead.
Right.
Coming from a guy that just got benched, that it's had a really tough 2 years.
Yes. Injuries,
losing
criticism.
Nothing has really kind of gone his way.
Right.
And he sort of, through all that, is still, you know, fighting and trying to turn things around and making play. Like, so I think exactly what you're saying is that this guy is, through all that, is still here and not like collapsing. Like that's like,
yes.
in itself, you're like, okay, that's a big deal.
And
like,
it's a big deal because, again, we talk about the tangible and the intangible. The intangible fact of, like, you saw the speech that he gave before the Penn State game.
Yeah.
That stuff matters because if you're losing and your captain quarterback, when he goes to the sideline, if he starts getting, you know, pouting and all that stuff, it's going to be a lot easier for everyone else. But he has stayed engaged, which I think keeps everybody engaged. And then, so that's the intangible factor of it that keeps hope and going, okay, we need to keep doing this. And then there's a tangible factor of, like, this guy is continuing. Like, I think he's played his best two, I think his last two games are the best two games he's played since probably the Illinois game, which would have been, what, game four of last year?
Yeah.
And that's what's so funny about, I don't know, I mean, I know your dating history a little bit, but you ever be on the rocks with a girl and you're ready to be like, man, I'm going to dump this girl. I'm so done with this girl. And then there's like, you have a good night, you have a good moment, you have a good conversation, whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, Doc?
Yeah.
You have a good, you know.
Great conversation.
You have a great conversation. And you're like, you walk away and you're like, man, I'm not going to dump that girl. I like that girl. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not going to lie. There was a part of me that was ready to turn the page on Adrian Martinez. And even this week with the news of Mackenzie Milton, I was like, go get him. Go get this guy. You know what I mean? Go get this cat. And then you see a performance like that, and you're like, God, is it still, like, it kind of feels like he still has some good football in him.
Well, so this was my sort of general take, and it's partly Martinez, and it's partly the offense around him, the system, the players, right? We know there's holes right now at wide receiver. Hopefully some of these young guys can develop. Holes at running back. Hopefully some of these young guys can develop and we can bring people in.
Sure.
But I think my big takeaway between Martinez and this offense is that when this offense is like, you know, efficient and is sort of in a rhythm where it's going right, like that's what it more looks like.
Yes.
It's these the short passes and the swing passes for runs, you know, get us humming. And to me, it's like the difference between those 19 losses that we've been, like, most of them really close, is if nothing else changes, no personnel changes, and we just sort of get that sort of, you know, rhythm and efficiency out of our offense, I think we win all those close games.
Right.
I mean, we lose those games really having the most anemic version of this offense versus what this offense is supposed to be, is that, and that's not even the ceiling of the offense. That's just sort of what the offense, in my mind, is supposed to do. These last two games are like, that's efficient. You're not doing anything amazing other than just like doing what it's supposed to do.
What do you think? Because what changed? Is it just now? I mean, full disclosure, Bob Diaco's Purdue defense is not very good.
Yeah.
But I mean, Nebraska also was pretty efficient in the passing game. They didn't get a bunch of explosive plays, but a pretty efficient in the passing game against Iowa.
Yes.
What is, like, have you noticed anything that's changed?
Adrian said, and they asked that exact question. He said, well, you know, just trying to be a little bit more, you know, efficient in practice. It's been sharper in practice with the receivers. Okay. So with the receivers, it's been more efficient. So I think as much as Adrian has played better, delivered the ball on time, more accurate, I think the receivers are doing a better job getting open.
They must.
Right. And we're not turning the ball over too.
Right. So zero turnovers.
So this team did not turn the ball over, and they were just making the easy play. So a lot of those plays were clearing it out. Wandale is left for the check down, or like somebody's dragging across the field. We really didn't do anything down the field like we've been wanting to. We really did not. One play to Austin Allen maybe.
Right.
But these are short passes that you throw and let people run on. And I think that right now, especially until we got deep threats, we've got to be good at that. We should be able to do it. And if we can do that, it brings another aspect to this offense that we just haven't been able to have.
Yeah, and even because it's amazing just how everything started to kind of look a little bit better. It's still not Oregon, UCF just lighting people up, but it started to kind of look. That was the best the offense has looked in a long time. And even, you know, a lot of Adrian looked better, but I even thought the play call seemed better. Like, I thought the audible check to the touchdown to Lever or whatever, Lever. And I mean, that is schemed them, you know,
that's executed
perfectly.
That's just, we got 3-on-2,
right.
You know, just that's just good coaching. But I think more, that's something we, like, the more this offense gets in a rhythm, it's more things like that where they're just trying to get a numbers game,
right.
And they're going to make you play perfect on defense, right? If you make a mistake or you miss a tackle, like, that's what they're going for. And at its best, that's kind of what this offense does. And I feel like we've been really, with our own self-inflicted, you know, mistakes, we've struggled to sort of just get in that rhythm. It's all been like, God, we keep making mistakes, so we have to play it too safe, and we can't take any sort of, like, chance. So this was, a great couple games of seeing, like, what happens when our offense is efficient in with what it does.
I mean, Adrian, so he was 23 of 30, 242 yards and a touchdown. He also ran for 45 yards and two touchdowns. So, I mean, I thought he played great. Hopefully his shoulder's okay. Yeah. The fact that he came back in the game makes you think that he probably is okay. And then I think the other thing that helps with the offense looking better is I think we talked through the first couple of games just how much of a non-factor Wandale Robinson was.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't getting carries. He wasn't getting touches. He really wasn't just a part of the plan at all. And the reality is he's Nebraska's best player and best offensive weapon, and he gets 9 catches for 114 yards. You know, he also gets a couple of carries. Like, he was big time involved, and he was big time involved on third downs. Like, yeah. I think it's funny how everything looks better when your better players get more involved in the offense too.
Yeah, no doubt. Getting Wandale the ball and getting him some space, that is the ideal scenario. And it's not going to maybe be that easy the next game because people are going to go, okay, look at this guy. That's
right.
We got to take that away. So we got to do a good job of trying to get him the ball in those situations. But that's to me what you want to see out of the Wandale pass game that has been non-existent this year.
Totally agree. I mean, totally agree. And I think it also, even though I didn't think he was great, I do think having Mills back helped.
Mills, no, Nick, he's our best running back. He's at 75% right now, probably.
Right.
He didn't look right, but he's a guy that can run through a hole and he breaks the first tackle.
Right.
And I don't think the other running backs right now are doing that.
No, and so I think it's just there's a lot of things that got the offense into a rhythm, and even just Mills being there, I think, helped. How about the... You remember the scene in Ace Ventura where he got the new look at the picture and he was like, who the heck is that? Who the heck is that? Connor Jewett came in and got it. I mean, I'm convinced someone said, I'll pay you $50 to just run into the game and see if you could, like, I think he was just waiting and, like, how did he get
okay,
into the game?
So I saw him, they had in the papers one of the couple running backs they were going to go. So I was like, I was really like, who is that guy?
When he came in.
And I looked at his highlight tapes from he's a Elkhorn South kid.
Nice.
Kind of good.
Okay.
So
I'm with it.
I was.
He's Ray Finkel. From here on out,
that's because
that's Ace Ventura. It's like, who the heck is that?
So I actually think that that kid from Omaha is not bad.
Okay. And I just was like, I who was that? Where?
Nick, I wouldn't doubt you're going to see that kid over the next 2 years.
Okay. I'm cool with it. I just was like.
Nick, we'd never heard of the guy, and he was taking care of
it. On the field, and I was like, who's
that guy?
Connor Jewett. It was like,
Connor
wow.
Jewett from Elkhorn.
Yeah.
So,
Connor Ray Finkel Jewett is officially who he is.
Ray Finkel.
I love it. Unless we're missing anything else on the offense, there's one last thing I want to talk about with the offense before we transition to some other things. By far, the most under-discussed and shame on us dude that has been awesome all year is Connor Culp.
Yeah.
And it's a window into special teams. Oftentimes, like when it's good, you don't tend to talk about it a ton.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when it's bad, that's when you want to talk about it. This guy hasn't missed an extra point. He's making 92% of his field goals. He hit a 49-yard field goal on Saturday. It's his stats. Like, I'm looking, I mean, it's like, so 92%, 31st, I assume this is in the country, 31st in the country, extra points, hasn't missed, tied for first. Points 50, tied for 51st. Like this guy, this LSU transfer, he has been. Remember how horrible Nebraska was last year in field goal kicking?
We probably lost two or three games because we couldn't kick or we didn't want to even try at that point. So I think here's probably my answer for why we have ignored him to this point. I don't think we wanted to trust anybody to this point. We saw such bad kicking. We're like, I don't believe this.
It's hard.
He can make 10 field goals in a row,
right.
But I don't trust him.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is like it's hard when you lose. It's hard, you know.
Who cares if
like
you make
a bunch
of field
goals? If I had to turn on the mics after the Illinois game and be like, well, you know, Nebraska didn't play well, but how about Connor Culp? He's really having a good season. You know, like, no one's trying to hear that.
The Bulls lose again, but let's talk about the free throw shooting of that backup center. Like, you're not going to have that conversation. Like,
you're not going to do it.
No, you know? Like, why did the Bulls lose?
And so, like, I think that's in our defense, and I think everybody's defense, it's just no one wants to talk about the field goal kicker great when you're losing.
It's at the end of my mental capacity to even talk about special teams.
I don't know. It took me rewatching it. This dude just booms a 49-yarder, and I'm like, I don't even think we've talked about this guy.
No. If this
we've not talked about Connor Culp as much as we talked about Connor Jewett. Okay,
good day for the Connors.
It's a big Connor day.
Yeah, I think this is like in its own right progress. Though, it's like we now feel good about our. You know, last year it was an all-time low for field goal kickers,
Louise.
And now we're back to feeling very good. So this is another sign of progress.
Totally agree.
To feel encouraged about for the future.
Anything else on the offense that we're missing?
Betts is a guy I like seeing him Betts. Out there more. You can see there's a few times he ran the wrong.
Him and Wandale were.
And he was yelling at Wandale. Wandale was like, no. They all went up like, no, you're. He's like.
Even Adrian. Yeah. Adrian ran down the field to yell at him. At least Betts gave like the bye.
That's
bad.
Me. That's. But I think Betts is our best. Hope for having a strong receiving core in the future. I mean, he has to develop and be good because he's the only guy that really has that skill set right
now. Maybe it's just because no one else is physically an impressive-looking receiver. Like, anytime he does anything, I'm just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how that – like, just because he looks terrific, doesn't he?
I mean, he's tall, long, and he's got just, like – he's got the real, like – the real athletic body that's just
And I think he's pretty good after the catch. Like, he can run a little bit.
You know what? It's easy. It's cool to see with him. Like, when the ball is thrown his way, you never even have to really think about, is he going to catch it?
Right.
He always is going to catch it.
Right.
He looks very relaxed out there. Especially for being a freshman. He looks pretty relaxed when he has the ball, and which I think is good. So, for him, it's going to be about, I think, getting stronger and more sudden and kind of like definitive with what he's doing.
And I'd have to imagine, and you know, if we had Swift or Todd Peterson here, they could tell us this. I'm sure in high school you can run sloppy routes. You know what I mean? You can run a sloppy route and just, or you're just running by people. Like, I think he's probably got to tighten up all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
So I think that's it. So it's just going to take time for him to timing, route running, where depth of routes, where he needs to get to, all those kinds of things that it's hard, you know? I mean, I think the reality is you can teach some of that, but he has a lot of the stuff that you can't teach.
Yeah, he's got, like, what's going to be fun to see.
I think he's going to be good.
Yeah, I think, like, next year and the year after, to see how much we attack with him downfield.
Right.
That's kind of the next level I want to see with him is, is he going to be able to kind of, quote-unquote, Randy Mossett, just, like, throw it up, and can he go get it? I don't know.
He looks fat. Like, I guess, is he a burner? Like, I mean,
I think he borderlines burner.
All right, let's take a quick break from the podcast and talk to you guys about Runza. So, you know, I've told you guys about the fact that you can custom order your Runza sandwiches, which is obviously a game changer. You can add anything within reason to a Runza sandwich. Different cheeses, maybe some fries, maybe some pickles, whatever. Since they all start out as an original Runza and are made to order, you can get creative. Well, I love getting tweets like this one from Joshua. He tweeted at me, tried the custom order tonight. Highly recommend you add ranch to the Runza with cheese. Hashtag Runza. Wow. Ranch on a Runza? I mean, that sounds incredible. Good work, Joshua. I'm going to have to give that one a try. You need to get to Runza and make your own masterpiece just like Joshua did. And when you're there, you need to tell him your buddy, your pal, your partner, your podcast buddy, Nick Baugh, sent you. Runza makes it all better. And while we're here, let's talk about Pella windows and doors. I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. Let's pull up Pella's website right now. Look at this. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. Five different types of windows or doors by Pella have won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. I mean, that's incredible. And they achieve that in a couple of ways. You have the insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. You have types of low-E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. You have triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for windows and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella windows and doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Turn your window and door remodeling dreams into a reality with Pella. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. Back to the podcast.
He glides. Because
like that Penn State, the Penn State little pop pass, he pretty much, he punched the gas, and then when he got to about like the 20-yard line, he coasted, and no one could catch him.
Yeah, so he glides very, like he's fast.
Yes.
Like there's no question, is he fast? He's fast. But the Penn State, what he didn't show is like, do I want to take it from third gear to fifth gear?
Right.
And he on third gear is fast. I have yet to see him in fifth gear.
I want to see him let it rip.
I mean, the best was when Randy Moss used to run, and he would run and just stick one hand up, and that was Culpepper knew, can I throw as far as I can? Brady knew, throw as far as I can.
Right.
If Moss put the hand up, if we could ever have a guy like that, it just changes everything. Because they just say, this is the one. I want this one.
Well, and I guess I look at him, and he – not only does he look like a good receiver, he looks like he could be, not Randy Moss, but like a guy that can, he looks like he can be a deep threat to me.
Well, no, he's absolutely built for that. I mean,
yes.
He's a perfect, he's 6'2 and a half, you know, 200 pounds, but just got great length.
I just think, you know, we've criticized the receivers a lot, and I think, like, he's been arguably the biggest, I don't know if you want to call it a pleasant surprise, but I think everyone felt like he had talent, but I don't know what, I mean, he's other than Wandale, and it's a different kind of thing, he's Nebraska's best receiver.
He's a true freshman.
Right.
That didn't come here at the early enrollment. He
right.
came at, you know, in fall camp. That's really hard to get on the field.
I mean, dude had a curfew last year.
Yeah.
And was, you know, at Bell West having gym class and all that, you know, like, I mean, and now that, so like, he's, I'm excited about him.
Yeah.
I'm really, really excited about him.
If you can get him and develop anybody else to really, you know, to be a threat, then Wandale, we keep Wandale free to operate in that, you know, underneath slot. Because I stand by what I said, like, Wandale down the field is not what I want to see. Here's the thing about Wandale. He is short.
Mm-hmm.
He has he's short arms, so the catch radius is small with him. So the more you got to throw it to him over the middle and high, it's just it leads chances for him to get hurt or turn. Like, he's best when you get to him on sweeps, short
right.
throws, hand it off. Like, just give him space underneath. That's his strength. Where we need other people to take the top off and be the downfield people.
But, man, Wandale is starting to show you – he's shown you a few plays that are just like, man, that guy's electric.
He's our best player.
Defense. So, again, Purdue's offense is capable, you know.
Yeah.
But all in all, you know, they gave up 27 points and all that. But I thought it was a pretty good day for the defense. The thing that continues to impress me is – these guys are so physical. Like, I know we keep talking about it, but I think we need to continue to talk about it. Like, one of the things that really stood out to me during the Mike Riley era, towards the end of it, was the lack of physicality, especially on the perimeter. Like, when there's some sort of screen or whatever, like, Riley's last year, those guys were getting blown up on blocks. They weren't coming downhill and hitting, like, Deontay Williams, DiCaprio Boodle, Cam Taylor, like, those guys come and fucking knock your head off.
Everybody's pretty physical.
I
mean, that's the part that I've really loved to see is, or even that, you know, that fourth and one and Reimer and Britt, you know, they blow the guy up in the back. Like,
right.
And it's, they're sticking people.
Right.
And that's the stuff that that's another sign of progress. Like, there's no doubt the holes right now, we can't rush the passer. We just can't. That's a hole.
Right.
Making, you know, giving up big plays in the fourth quarter down the field, that's a hole. We did it again. That's right. Still a hole. But, you know, being physical, that's the part that no matter what, if you can fall back on that, being physical and being somewhat in your knowing your scheme, like, we're doing so much better at that than we have, like, to meet big time progress.
I agree. I think if you're looking at progress over the course of the first 3 years for the defense, physicality, no question about it.
Yeah.
They're better in the trenches. I don't think they're really getting blown off the ball like they did early on. Guys aren't running wide open. No. You know, like, you don't see a ton of busted coverages or anything like that. And then you have seen in different spots the defense step up and get stops late. They're still not the most clutch defense in the world. But more often than not this year, when they've needed to step up and get a stop and get the ball back or get a stop to win the game, they've kind of done that.
Yeah.
So, again, they're not great, but I think they're getting better. And that long pass, that was just such a – Dismuke and Cam Taylor took each other out.
Well, Dismuke's – that's his play, right? So you're the deep center guy.
Right.
They throw a post.
Mm-hmm.
That's your ball.
Right.
And the only thing you can't do
– Is what you did?
Is take out your own guy. You can intercept it. You can tackle the guy that catches it.
Right.
You can knock it away. You can do any of those things. Except take out your own guy and fall
down.
I mean,
it was almost laughable. Like, he perfectly took out Cam Taylor.
Because Cam Taylor Britt was in good position.
Yes.
So he either picks it or tackles him or whatever. Like, the only thing you can't do is make a great block for their team.
I mean, he was an unbelievable play. But the other thing I thought that they were better on in this game was they're better on third down. Purdue is 3 of 13. We've talked about that, how bad Nebraska's been. And Nebraska was better on third down offensively. 6 of 15 is a little bit better than what they've been. Still not great. But 3 of 13 defensively holding Purdue on third down, I thought they were much better.
And Nick, on the couple first downs that they got, it was really like, they had a check down that we had a great call and we were in a great position. And one of our guys just kind of was slow and took a terrible angle, but, like, it was a thing where they did exactly what you wanted them to do,
right?
And we just didn't tack. So, and then another time their QB pulled down Scrant. So of the three that they got, like, two of them were, like, we were in great position on,
right?
So they weren't just picking us apart. I mean, we almost could have really, to me, like, the growing from this team isn't going to be just winning games. It's okay, those close ones that we lost, we're going to win those now. And in games like this game against Purdue, we should have won 50-10.
Yes.
Without even breaking a sweat, playing our backups most of the second half. That's how close we are to me. Like, I shouldn't say close. When we get there, that's what would have happened in this game.
Right.
With that start, the way that Purdue was playing, we get those couple third down stops. We punch the next ones in. And it is, Nick, it is so far ball game by midway through the third quarter. You don't have to worry about those last couple attempts to even tie it.
I agree.
It's a blowout. So that's part of our evolution is going to be, okay, the things like we talked about, efficient offense, clean up penalties, we're going to win those close games now. These games, we're going to win big. Because game should have been a blowout.
It had the makings. When it got to 17-0, you kind of were thinking to yourself, like, okay, let's blow this team out. You know, like, it felt like they were ripe for the taking for this thing to be a 45-10 blowout. You know, and it just so that's the there are little steps that need to be taken. But I also think, twice now in big spots, Cam Taylor has made big pass breakups. He did it against Penn State. Yeah. It was almost very similar. It was almost like the Odell Beckham one-handed grab, but bat down. Like, I like that guy.
He's talented. I mean, that type of play takes a lot of talent,
yes,
and coordination. He's got some he has of all of our defensive players, he's top one or two in terms of guys that can make a play.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's our guy for that. So that's huge though.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, you know, you give out, you know, didn't TJ and Berman give out game balls at the end of primetime?
I think, yeah.
I mean, Adrian gets a game ball.
Yeah.
Wandale gets a game ball. Our boy Connor Culp gets a game ball. We might as well give Connor Jewett a game ball, too. Welcome to the party, pal. I mean, who is Connor Jewett?
I'm telling you, I looked the guy up because I was like, who is
he? You looked him up when you read about him in the paper? Or
for some reason, before the game, I looked him up.
I mean, shame on me for not knowing an Elkhorn South kid, but man.
Well, I didn't know him. I had no clue.
When he came in the game, I was like.
I mean, Nick, does anybody know
him? I swear to God, he snuck out there somehow. It's nuts. It was like when Kramer won a Tony and he was a seat filler and he went up with everybody.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Deontay Williams had 12 tackles.
Mm-hmm.
JoJo Doman had 11 tackles. You know, Nebraska did finally get some. They got 3 sacks. The pass rush still isn't great, but they got some big sacks early. Our boy, the Ultimate Warrior, got a sack early in the game.
He was hyped.
And celebrated with a Mountain Dew.
He shook the ropes a couple times.
Shook the rope, took a Mountain Dew, poured it over his face. Ben Stilley got one early, so I thought the pass rush early was pretty good.
Are they playing less defensive linemen now than they were earlier in the year?
I don't know. I
feel like Snacks has been good.
Snacks earned himself a snack.
Snacks has a full cupboard full of snacks.
Snacks, good news. There's a snack waiting for you at your locker.
You did your work, Snack. You get snacks. But it's like, I feel like it's been Stilley, Robinson, Rogers, and Snacks. And I haven't seen those other guys rotating in very much.
No.
And I don't know. I don't know what that is. Are they injured? But I know we were playing like 8 guys to start the year, and I feel like that's really kind of
shrunk down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the deal is.
I'm not sure, but yeah, those guys are, again, no one's a dynamic pass rusher, but like pretty good. Again, I mean, again, Purdue had negative, I don't know if we mentioned this, Purdue had negative 2 yards rushing.
That's awesome. See, that's I mean, awesome.
Like that stuff, Nebraska, there were years where they just were getting blown off the ball by everybody, you know.
Yeah.
So that's taking a big step.
Huge step. And, you know, the test now, Nick, is going to be this. Minnesota, without Rashad Bateman,
yes,
is going to try to run the football. That's going to be what they do. And we couldn't stop them last year with their run. They're going to run that wide zone, try to get our guys out of position. This is going to be the biggest test of what we've been doing well, which is stop the run.
Right.
Can we step up against Minnesota and stop the run this week?
I think they can.
Well, they've shown
they can. How similar is the kind of the outside off tackle run that Minnesota does, that Iowa does a version of that? Is it?
It's a little different because I think Minnesota's is more out of the gun.
Okay. Because that's what I was going to say. Iowa has like a I formation that
yeah.
they do it out of that's different.
Iowa's is more of an I formation style run, more like, you remember the way the Texans used to do it back in the day, and the Broncos even.
I mean, Petras has to like sprint. It's such a wide.
Yeah,
you know, it's almost like the 7 hole or that. Like, I mean, he's got to sprint just to get it to.
Yeah, it's a hard stretch. I think Minnesota's would be a harder stretch than what you would see Nebraska probably do.
Right.
Ours is a little bit more of a softer stretch. But I think they're going to do a version of that, but it's a little different because it's usually out of the gun.
I hope that game's – I mean, you know, obviously Minnesota's had some COVID issues. I really hope that game happens. Nebraska needs games, but I think Nebraska is going to beat Minnesota, and they're going to head into this championship weekend. I'm not sure who they'd draw, but, you know, Nebraska needs games really bad.
Nebraska needs games. You know, we kind of hit on this before we started recording, but the implications of this game, people might not be thinking about right now, but this win was so big in so many ways. Okay. First of all, we needed a win just to take a breath.
Right.
Show, you know, to get some positive things going, right? But the downside of that loss was, I think, a lot worse than people realize. Because people were starting to get pretty upset.
Yes.
They were starting to get really frustrated that things were going from bad to worse. You know, the few who are, you know, the early adopters, we'll call them, to firing coaches in the tech, in the world of tech talk, early adopters. There's early
adopters.
The ones
that go to ZipRecruiter pretty quick to see if they can find a new head coach. Those guys, there were some people that,
they want to be the first to call. They always want to just get, they want to get the some guy out and somebody else in. They always want something new, right?
Right.
So that was the first rumblings of that started to happen, right? And, you know, you can say what you want about it. I personally think that's
not
completely
stupid.
the wrong idea to even start thinking about that stuff, even remotely, in the next couple of years. But this win prevents that from happening. Adrian Martinez starts looking good. We start feeling better about our quarterback, our offense in general. We're seeing the progress again.
No question.
Nebraska gets – I don't think it matters. If we lose next week, I don't think it matters. But if we win two in a row, I think our wins behind our sails, right?
I agree.
Going into next year. So that win gave us a chance to sort of, okay, call the season a wash. We're fine. Whether we beat Minnesota or not, I really think that's the case. But if we can now beat Minnesota and add a third win, I'm telling you, we're gonna be feeling so much better about next year. It's not even close.
I mean, I think there's no question that, and we'll do that. Let's do this with the Allofast takeaway to wrap this thing up. Again, you go on the road, you miss the fantastic internet that Allo provides. It's the access to the all-fiber network in Lincoln and across the state, absolutely second to none. I am knee-deep in college basketball right now, especially this week. I called six games this week. So I had to download Oregon games, Seton Hall games, Kansas games. I mean, I got to download all these games. Everything comes in smooth, fast. I mean, I download a game like that, and it's all because of the fast internet. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. You want this? By far the best internet I've ever had anywhere. Go to allofiber.com. Allofiber.com. Tell them Nick Boss sent you. I think, you know, in the takeaway from this, to your point, like, the last 2 weeks, yes, there, you know, last week we spent a lot of time talking about a lot of the same issues and all those things, but like, Nebraska did a much better job slowing Iowa down and being physical in the trenches. Like, I feel comfortable saying that Nebraska is the arrow trending up, down for physicality in the trenches defensively. I think it's trending up.
Yeah.
And then over the course of the last two games, let's be honest, sometimes how you feel about a football team or a football program can be directly attributed to how do you feel about the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And when you don't feel good about the quarterback position, you're probably not going to feel good about anything. All of a sudden, over the course of the last 2 weeks, you're starting to feel a little bit better about Adrian Martinez as well. So when we think about what it takes to win in the game of football, and in particular in the Big Ten, you got to be good against the run and better in the trenches. Nebraska seems like they're heading in the right direction. You got to play with physicality across the board. Nebraska seems like they're heading in the right direction. And you got to have good quarterback play. All of a sudden, over the course of the last 2 weeks, it feels like Nebraska's heading in the right direction. Again, if everybody has a choice to make. You can focus on all the negative things if you want to, but you can also acknowledge the positive things. And I don't think I'm necessarily pulling those things out of my ass and trying to just, you know, make something that isn't there. Like, I think all those things are real.
No question they're real. I mean, I would say for the most of the areas in our team, we're actually we were seeing the improvement. The issue is the holes in position groups have not changed, right?
Right.
Receiver, running back, pass rusher. Boom, boom, boom. That's what we're seeing, right? But the question is, I think, can we continue to improve in the areas you were improving, and then on the overall, you know, not shooting yourself in the foot aspect. And then the rest is, I think it's a recruiting issue.
Right.
Probably fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good place to be going into the end of this year, next year.
I think if you're looking at things that, you know, like if you just can't, like when Frost got here and they were really poor in the trenches and getting blown off the ball and they weren't physically ready, that's not a quick fix, right? That's a that's a few year thing, and here we are and it's starting to kind of, it's getting better. But of the holes you listed, receiver, running back, pass rusher, and then I would also then throw in there just kind of like you said, shooting yourself in the foot, the mental mistakes. Like, I think all those things are more quickly correctable than maybe other issues would be. Like, I don't, I think it's, you can go find, like, usually you can plug in a running back that's pretty good, right? Usually, now we've fallen victim to this. We thought Omar Manning was going to be the second coming of, you know, Jerry Rice. Usually, and maybe Betts can become this, but usually you, receivers can get on the field and play right away. And sometimes pass rushers, we've talked about this a little bit, sometimes a lot of them are just ready-made and they're not really developed. Like, Randy Gregory just walked into Lincoln and could rush the passer. So, and then mental mistakes, like, you know, a lot of it is just, I mean.
But my thing, too, is like, if we got receivers and running backs and pass rushers, we might not be in the positions at the end of the games where we've been blown. Like, the things that.
You're right. Those things.
If we can improve those areas, they may erase 80% of the problems. And then you know what? Those last bit of things we got to fix, that's on them to fix. But I think that until those holes get, you know, like you get some people in there that we feel like, okay, they can really be a solid player in the Big Ten at that level, then you have to play perfect. And you can't ask us to play perfect every week.
It's a great point. Yeah, it's those their holes amplify the holes amplify the issues, because if we said before, they're not talented enough to overcome like a false start in a drive.
Yeah,
they get one false start in a drive, it's like
it's over.
You might
right?
as well send the punt team out on like second down.
Because that's
like,
the way that's the way we look at it. It's like, okay, when you have this many holes, the only way to win is to play perfect.
Right, and
we
they can't do that.
And we go through and we go, well, if they did this and that, and it's like, well, you know what happens? Some teams make all those mistakes. But then they have guys that make up for it. And so that's the line we got to find is, okay, what's our max talent level that we could eventually get to? And then at what level of like perfection do we have to play?
It's a good point. That's a good point. But all in all, to wrap this thing up, like a lot of positive things with that game. I mean, yes, were they close to whizzing it away? Yeah. I mean, things got a little nerve-wracking down the stretch. But, you know, ultimately, Adrian Martinez did a lot of good things. They came out, went on the road, and punched Purdue in the mouth, got up 17-0 right away, made a big special teams play. Yes, they had a punt blocked, but overall, I thought special teams was a little bit better.
But that was on the punter, too, Nick. The punter kicked it into the back of our guy, like,
right.
And he was slow. So the punter's job is get the ball and get it punted. He was like I got the ball and I'm gonna look at it and I'm gonna punt it now.
It did
like,
take a long time.
It was a slow punt,
right?
So that's on the punter in my book.
I agree, but man, all in all, never a dull moment with this team. I mean, like the drama every Saturday is there, regardless of the outcome. But yeah, I just hopefully, fingers crossed, Minnesota gets. You know, gets better results with their COVID situation this week, and Nebraska can play.
I think
man.
They started practicing, which is a good sign.
I like it. All right, that'll do it for the recap pod. We'll catch you next week. Hopefully, we're talking about another game and another Husker victory. Make sure you subscribe to that podcast. Just click that subscribe button. For Bo Rude, I'm Nick Baugh saying so long from Lincoln, Nebraska. All right, my thanks to Pella. If you're thinking about a new window or a new door, now is the time. Check them out online on the web at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And my thanks to my good friends at Runza. Best fries on the planet, great burgers, cheese Runza, delicious. The food is simply fantastic. Runza makes it all better.
A Huda Media Production.